Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, March 23rd, also known as Hump Day, Kelsey.
It is, right? Yeah. I have to post a booty picture on Instagram later to comply with tradition.
I suppose so, right?
Yeah.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Yeah? I'm good. Yeah, I am. I'm up and at 'em. I'm awake. It took me a minute.
Good, today. Yeah. Got energy though, right?
Yeah, I was working in Hawthorne yesterday. Really? I know, which was kind of bizarre because I like never go down that way.
Yeah, right.
I was like, so it was an experience. But
what, was it a studio or something or what?
It was a location. It wasn't a studio. No.
Oh, it was outdoors though?
No, it was inside.
Oh,
it was
okay. Like a, yeah. Like, what's there to film in Hawthorne?
Right? I know. It was like a bar scene. So
oh, okay.
It was inside a building, and you know they had it all set up with props and everything. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you work late?
I did. It was only supposed to be like a 6-hour shoot, and it turned out to be like a 10-hour shoot.
Oh my God! I don't know how you can do that, man.
I know.
So but they give you breaks and stuff, right?
Yeah. No. There was a lot of sitting around, but
yeah, right. Yeah, know, that's what I hear
on this particular set. Yeah, yeah. But I know I didn't like get to my house until like 11 o'clock, and I was so tired.
Yeah. Oh well.
I know, and then I had to go at 12, which was right after this.
Uh huh.
And so I thought, oh, an hour, that's plenty of time. Like, I thought I was even going to have time to stop and, like, get some lunch or something. No. All of the traffic. Like, I got there right on time. It was crazy.
Wow. So you didn't even get to eat?
No. No, I didn't.
Oh,
but
well.
That's okay. Yeah. I survived.
I know. Who's got time to eat?
Oh, my God. I made up for it when I got back. I made, like, this huge bowl of pasta that was, like, sinful.
You know, I have this terrible habit of, like, I started getting hungry around 11,
11:30. Oh, that's bad.
And then
yeah.
I feel like watching a movie, so I pick up some popcorn and I start eating this. I go to bed an hour later. In the morning, it's like, it's the worst feeling, you know? I mean, because the food hasn't really digested or anything.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I decided today, that's it. No more popcorn. No more eating after like 10 o'clock or something. You
oh,
know?
At least. Yeah.
Yeah. Just coffee and something to drink, maybe, and chocolate, maybe. But that's
I mean,
it,
I know? Try not to, you know, really eat like 3 hours before I go to bed. Or
right.
Like that.
See, that's a good idea.
Right. But you know, you kind of have to listen to your body, because if you haven't had anything to eat all day, you don't need to be starving yourself.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
so,
that's,
I mean, eat something healthy.
Yeah, but that's a special case. I mean, it's definitely not healthy not to eat all day.
Right.
So, you know, so we're talking about a good.
So it's different. It varies. But generally speaking, I mean, you wouldn't want to go to sleep with like a full stomach.
Right. And that's what I do. And then I get up in the morning and it's all here, you know. You get like heartburn and shit. And I don't need that. Yeah. I know. So. And that's after eating like at 9 or something. So what happens is I only eat like twice a day, right? Because that's about
you should,
all I eat.
You should
no
do
breakfast.
More frequent.
I know. So then what happens is I eat at 9, 10 o'clock. And then I get hungry again at like 11:30 or something, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, a lot of people do it, but yeah, it's definitely
right.
not good.
I don't recommend it.
Space out the meals it. A little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Your stomach needs to rest a little bit at night, you know?
It does. Yeah. It does. That's
so
funny
I think
you
it's
mentioned.
It's also better sleep, too.
It's funny you mentioned heartburn. My mom the other day was like, oh, my God, it's hell getting old. She's like.
Everybody gets heartburn. Like, that's bullshit.
I don't.
Well, okay, you don't.
She's like, coffee gives me heartburn. Everything gives me heartburn now. My knees are hurting. Everything's falling apart.
Oh, my God. That's what you get to look forward
to,
Kelsey.
She's like, but that's just because I'm fat. Like, no, you're not.
Well,
like,
that's funny.
She is not at
she's
all.
She's not. Everybody thinks they're fat.
No.
Yeah,
she's
I know.
Like, you know, I mean, it's funny. I know. She's like, oh, just old people stuff. I'm like, what are you doing today? She's like, getting chicken fat injected into my knees.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
No. But no, I mean, there's people that get heartburn from certain types of food and stuff, you know.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, I don't know. I get it just when I eat late at night, you know, and then the food just doesn't get digested.
You know, this is bizarre and probably not something that I should admit, but, you know, like those, I don't have these late nights anymore because I'm so, like, such a workaholic now, but, I, you know, like when you have a late night and you're like, what's open? What can I eat?
Yeah.
Well, my friends and I used to like go grab Taco Bell or something.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Which is, yeah,
especially
it's
when
great
you've
for you.
Like been drinking and you're like, oh, that sounds so good, you know?
Yeah.
Like a cheesy quesadilla or something. Well, I think around like 25, I lost that enzyme in my stomach
really?
That digests Taco Bell because it's really the only thing that like gives me like, a little tiny bit of heartburn. It's bizarre.
Yeah. I know. It's really not good for you, that food.
I know. Oh, so I'm so excited. You remember Victoria Fratz?
Yes.
Who came on our show?
Uh-huh.
So I'm actually meeting her tonight for a drink.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, so you guys befriended each other.
Yeah, we did.
How cool.
We
How come did. She won't befriend me? Tell her I want to be friend. But that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. She's so sweet. And
good. Well, you should invite her back on the show.
Yeah,
she's
and we're
nice.
We're really like-minded people. Like, we're super hustlers. We want to work all the time.
Uh-huh.
Like, so it's good.
Good, good. Yeah, you guys should go back and listen to our show with Victoria Fratz. She came on as a social media star, and she's got a lot of followers and stuff. And she told us how to build a following from scratch. You know, when you want a lot of following on social media and stuff. But if I remember correctly, the best thing to do is be first. At whatever it is, you know. So when you guys see some new social media or app, try to get there first. Maybe that will help a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously being on the ground floor of something is like advantageous
in any case. Yeah.
So that is nice. I mean, I wish I would have been on the forefront of like YouTube and stuff in particular.
I know. In a couple of minutes, we're going to get to a studio guest here. And just a couple things. The thing is that we had a Super Tuesday yesterday. There's not even any headlines about it or anything. They're just like, I guess there's projections that Sanders won two states and then Trump, Clinton, and Cruz won one each. So I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of an election is that where there's no headlines about that? There's other headlines, I mean, about... bike race jumper arrested at the White House.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. High flying Nike gets grounded. It's like, do we need to know that? What about the elections yesterday? That's what I want to know. But maybe this wasn't important. It's states that nobody cares about, right?
Yeah.
Like Arizona and Idaho.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. So I just wanted to say. That I keep forgetting what I wanted to say this morning. There was something I wanted to bring up, and you see, it just shows you
how it's hell getting old.
Yeah, shut up. I need to write things. It's just my memory has gone a long time ago, but it has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with cannabis use.
Oh, my God. Probably that, too.
Yeah, it fucked up my memory. I know that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's get to our guest now who's sitting here patiently. And we love her. She's been on the show before. And we have Simone Emmons in the studio. Welcome to the show, Simone.
Thank you for letting me come back.
Yes, absolutely. You're now a friend of the station. You've been here about 2,000 times. And so we always welcome you back here.
Thank you. You
were on Melissa's show, too, and you were on our show before. And tell us what it is that you do.
I do airbrush tanning, fake tanning, also known as fake tanning.
Right.
Spray tanning, also known as spray tanning, airbrush tanning,
right.
Fake tanning,
so can
bonded tanning.
Can anyone get one of those?
Yes, anyone can. Anyone.
So it's not like, I mean, if you have like a sensitive skin or something, it should matter? Or?
No, it doesn't matter because we have a solution available that is hypoallergenic. We also have a solution available that doesn't have any alcohol or fragrance in there. So that's usually what we try to find out at first with each client,
right?
If they have any sensitivities or anything, and then, you know, we would basically choose the appropriate solution for their skin.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you probably make sure people don't look like Donald Trump when you do them, right?
Yes.
So they don't come out orange or anything.
Right. Orange is part of when you don't know their skin type and you overprocess the formula, or when you overspray them usually.
Really?
So yeah, when you do it too frequently, actually, you can turn orange.
But don't you think by now he would be aware of that?
Well, it has part of, maybe, possibly, but also, you know, certain skin types, and I think we talked about it in the last show, certain skin types are very sensitive. As well, he is a very fair skin type.
Right. He looks like pinkish.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Like
around his eyes, yeah.
Yeah. And
you don't look pinkish. You're just palish, but you're
I'm palish, but right now I have a slight spray tan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
No, but that's
I'm
okay,
a little
man.
Bit tanned.
Yeah, I can see.
Yes, you can see it. But I'm fading out, too.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So that's why I'm not that dark. But fair skin type individuals, they just don't tan as dark as other individuals who have melanin. So he probably wasn't born with the melanin in his skin.
Right. So he probably shouldn't do it,
He should, but he just needs to be more careful and not be too drastic.
Really?
Right. And maybe not do it too frequently.
Yeah.
Because when you spray or when you add on top and on top and on top, it becomes more orange and builds up, basically.
Mm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you should join his campaign as an advisor on his
tan. Oh, my gosh. I know.
Spray tan advisor.
Exactly. Tell him, look, you want to be taken seriously for president. You gotta fix your spray tan there. You know?
So true.
Then he might, I don't know, he might say some negative things to me. He's kind of negative.
And
he always says, like, loser.
Or you're fired.
If something happens with a spray tan, then he's going to call me loser.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know.
Who cares? So tell people where they can find out more about what it is that you do.
Well, I'm here in Los Angeles, specifically in Studio City Valley Village. Mm-hmm. And so I spray the local people here in town.
Okay.
But I also teach airbrush tanning. So I have actually students fly in from all over the world.
Nice. Do you do tanning through Skype too?
Not tanning, but training I do.
That would be amazing.
Yes. Well, recently
you
I have.
Do everything through Skype.
Well, I do with the training.
Training as well.
Yes, I teach other people how to have an airbrush tanning like me.
That's
airbrush
cool.
tanning business, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I like to give back because I feel like I'm pretty successful here in town.
Right.
And also, you know, I wanted to build my academy worldwide. That's my ultimate goal.
Right.
Hoping that some of my students in the future will become trainers.
Right.
I do have a trainer already in Connecticut.
That's a good idea. So that's how you expand.
I'm doing
people.
Franchising, right?
Oh, so, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. So, and right now I'm talking to a few other students who are becoming trainers. So we're in the process of that. Yeah, so ultimately I would like to have a trainer in every city or state.
Nice.
And I kind of foresee it, you know, kind of like other hair academies or beauty academies, how they're in all the different cities and states.
Right.
People want to learn airbrush tanning.
Yeah.
It's an amazing trait. A lot of people, they just feel great afterwards.
Right.
It's kind of like a happy feeling you get.
Right.
Like, especially because like nobody wants to get skin cancer, you know. So.
There you go. That's another reason it's booming, right?
Yeah, so the beds are kind of out of fashion.
That's true.
They're still in, but you know why also people like airbrush tanning is because we can tan you in 10 minutes.
Right.
And if you would go to the tanning beds, it might take you 5 or 6 sessions in order to get the same tan outcome. Yeah, so we do it in 10 minutes. And, you know, especially in the bigger cities, we're so busy with our working life and schedules that people don't have time anymore to go into the sun.
Mm.
So they come here before they go to an event or go on vacation. They get the tan in 10 minutes, and then they're tanned.
Right. Yeah.
It's a time saver, basically, too.
Right.
Plus preserving the skin. You know, I always ask people why they like to get a tan, and a lot of them say they don't have either time or they just want to preserve their skin.
Right.
They don't want to get wrinkles.
Yeah.
So that's another good
reason.
That's
true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Uh-huh. And it gives you a lot of flexibility, you know. I mean, if you're an actor or an actress and you have a part that requires tanning, you know, And we were supposed to come to you and actually get those, but it didn't work out. And I was thinking of Kelsey doing the scene one day, mm-hmm. pale skin, then she walks in, and the continuity person going, "What the fuck?" Can you imagine? You walk in like
this. I know.
And it's like, yeah, what happened to you since you made love in the previous scene? And you get out of bed, and now you're all tan.
Well, maybe they should cover spray tanning in movie scenes, too.
Yeah. Exactly,
you know. Yes, overnight. You get a tan, right?
Right. No, but what I'm saying is in the middle of a scene, you know, if she stopped shooting the scene, you know, and she was pale. And then.
But another thing also is we can adjust the tanning level outcome. So, like, if she would have told me she can't be too tanned, I would just give her a light glow.
Right.
So that's the other thing, too, that we don't always have to give a dark tan.
Right.
We can have
so it's like different levels or different shades.
Yeah,
different
hues. Usually ask clients always, you know, how dark they want to be.
Okay.
And some people tell me, like, oh, make me really dark. I'm ready to go on vacation. And then some people say, I just want a light glow. I just want to feel better for my part. Mm-hmm. I want to just look even. A lot of people do it just to look even because they have tan lines.
Right.
So we adjust the tan lines as well.
Right.
And we don't necessarily always have to make them very dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's that noise in the background? It's like a truck backing up, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so irritating because when you're a listener and you hear shit like this, it's like irritating.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, how annoying.
Yeah, it's very annoying. You know, the other day they said the alarm went off here, the fire alarm in
what?
The building.
Oh,
can imagine
no.
People trying to do radio shows with the alarm going off. It's like, my God.
They're like, oh, stop it.
I know. So it's crazy. But for those of you just joining us, we're here in the studio with Simone Emmons, and she's into fake tanning, airbrush tanning. And so, Simone, how did you get into this?
Oh, well, originally, long time ago, you know, I'm originally from Germany, so I have very, very pale skin, and I can actually not tan in the natural sun. And then years ago, I remember one of my friends, she told me, let's go to Vegas. Let's spoil each other all there and, you know. And then she said, let's get a massage and then airbrush tan. And I said, okay. She already knew, you know, airbrush tanning. And I didn't. And, well, I went there, got my first airbrush tan. And I looked at myself. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
I never seen myself tanned before.
Right.
So I got hooked immediately. Immediately.
Wow.
And it gave me a happy feeling.
Yeah.
It gave me confidence. I actually felt good naked.
So really?
That's another good thing. Yeah.
That helps.
That's the reason why we all like to do that. Women like to do that because we want to feel good naked.
Right.
Or we want to feel sexy.
Right.
And it really gives you that sexy feeling.
Yeah.
And so I got hooked on that, and I said to myself, wow, I need to have this for the rest of my life.
Really?
And originally, I really wanted to learn it just for me.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to give myself a spray tan.
And then you realized the potential for this.
I realized a serious, big-time potential for that. Uh-huh. And me living in Los Angeles, we've had a lot of places already that were offering airbrush tanning. But also, you know, the fact is that I don't necessarily always feel comfortable naked in front of other people.
Right.
So I wanted to learn it for myself so I don't have to get undressed in front of other people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just learned it. I taught myself. You know, at that time, there weren't any places out there that were teaching this trade.
Right.
So that's when I also saw the other opportunity of teaching it.
Right.
So, of course, at first I digged into that, learned it, taught myself, figured out a lot of things. I made a lot of errors. I tried to figure out everything on my own.
Yeah.
And it took me about a year, I would say.
Yeah.
And then I realized, okay, I can do this as a business.
Yeah.
Because it's still new in LA, even though there were places out there offering it. Just not as many. And then I kind of was foreseeing the future. You know how, like, everybody here in LA is getting their nails done, their hair done every week or every 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Right.
And I said, wow, with all the skin cancer coming along and the tanning beds are, a lot of people are talking negative about it and all the negative health effects. I said, airbrush tanning probably is the beauty treatment for the future.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can foresee that one day people will be doing this every week or every 2 weeks or just once a month.
Yeah.
Because the spray tan lasts about a week, sometimes to 10 days, sometimes 2 weeks.
Now, when it fades, does it fade on your sheets and stuff and on your clothes?
No, not necessarily, unless somebody really oversprays you a lot where you're soaked in and then it can rub off on the sheets.
But otherwise, how does it fade? Like in the shower and
stuff? Yeah, it fades every day, little by little. You don't even notice it, but every time you take a shower, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter.
I see.
And, you don't necessarily always notice it. It just gets lighter, and one day you realize, oh, I'm pale again.
Yeah.
You get another spray tan.
Yeah.
It fades very naturally, unless a technician kind of oversprayed you. Then it can fade a little bit blotchy.
Yeah.
And it can fade just at the end. At the end, I would say it fades a little bit blotchy. But there are ways on how to prevent it or how to help the fading out process, like exfoliating a little bit every day.
Right.
And that's what majority of the people who do this weekly, they, down the road, they learn how to handle a fake tan.
Right.
Like you can't put oils on your body during the time because then you're making it more blotchy.
Right.
So, but people who do this all the time, they become pros in it and they learn how to deal with it every day.
Yeah.
And you probably won't be able to tell that anybody has a spray tan.
Wow, very cool. Mm-hmm. And then people come in and what, they wear their normal swimsuits or something?
Like? A lot of people do nude, but they also come in nude, right? Yes, a lot of people
Have to have their pee-pee tan?
I mean, no, we are not supposed to spray in that area.
Yeah.
So just to let you know, because open areas. But we spray around, right?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Now, a lot of people do it in their underwear.
But they don't want to have lines.
Exactly. A lot of people don't like tan lines. And it also depends on what city or state you're in.
Right.
In some of the cities, people are more conservative.
They don't mind getting naked in front of you?
Like I said, it depends on the cities. Like in the smaller cities, I've noticed, and I hear this from my students, some of the people don't like to get nude. But in the bigger cities like L.A., New York, like Miami.
They don't care. They like to show off, right?
Well, they just don't want to show tan lines. Or a lot of them kind of keep it a secret, too. They don't want anybody to know.
Right.
And so they want it to look exactly real, like a real tan.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to have tan lines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what would that say? It would say, hey, I was lying naked in the sun, you know? I mean, if you don't have tan lines.
Or in the bed. I mean.
Oh, yeah, in those beds. That's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's some people that don't even want, they don't want to share that they have a spray tan.
Yeah.
And I actually had a man who didn't want it to have, or know, or he didn't want anybody to know that he was doing it. So he was saying to Simone, I need it to look very, very natural. I don't want anybody to know.
Right.
I guess it was a cultural thing, too, that he was from a different culture.
Right.
And he didn't want anybody to make fun of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but even in this culture, right? I mean, if somebody has like a fake tan that looks fake, people are going to look down.
They will make fun of you, yes.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And especially celebrities.
You want to go to Simone because she's not going to make you look funny. Right? You're going to make people look
Well, I know exactly skin types, and then usually I first determine somebody's skin type.
Okay.
And then I let them know. Like, for example, Kelsey is pretty pale. I'm pretty pale.
Right.
So we don't want to make them look too extreme.
Right.
Because then it can look fake.
Right. But you can add some color to it and all that stuff.
Yeah, some natural brown coloring.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some people tan more golden and we want to make them more golden.
Yeah.
And some people tan more brownish and we want to make them more brownish.
Right.
Some people are copper golden. Where they have a reddish undertones.
Yeah. It's like, can you pick the shade before you do it?
I kind of know when I look at them, I kind of see their melanin coloring in their skin tone.
Okay.
And then we kind of like to match that. But in general, I can kind of see if people have pink undertone or olive undertones. When they have olive undertones, then you want to make them more brownish.
Right.
Because it's olive skin, right?
Right.
When they have pink undertones, they could either tan more goldenish, maybe reddish.
Okay.
And some people don't want to look reddish, and then we offset that with a brownish coloring.
Right.
To take the reddish coloring out of them so that they look
more brown.
Isn't that
funny how light people want to be dark and dark people want to be light? I mean, what is this? You know, everybody wants the opposite.
And in some other countries, they want to bleach their skin.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
You know? You know, either that or just like people, you know, everybody wants to be white, you know? So, and then when you're white, you want to be dark and tan and everything. So go figure. I don't know what the hell's going on. But for those of you wanting to know more, so if people want to go to your local local place to have their tan done here in L.A., obviously, you know what I suggest? I mean, not that you ask for my opinion, but rather than going to other states, start with, like, expanding from here, you know, and go out, you know. So try other cities in California where you can still be present there or get there easily, because it's hard to run a business when you're not there, especially in the beginning. You don't want to have to start schlepping to New York every week.
Right.
You know, that's going to be too much. So,
for Airbrush training, like I'm basically just staying local, right?
Right. And then, so then you train people that would be in New York and you hope that they would open things there, so you wouldn't really go there.
Yeah, I basically franchise or that they can use the training
but
academy.
But you still have to be there sometimes, you know?
No, the trainers are usually the ones that do everything there, right?
Because
I make sure that they know everything. I have a membership site also with all kind of training videos.
Yeah.
And they usually are trained, and they do this as a business already before they become a trainer.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're just basically managing the location and the training there.
Okay, cool.
But it's not easy, definitely not easy, but it's possible.
Yeah. So if it sounds good to you folks and you're looking for a new business or something to do, it's probably more than just a side business, maybe only in the beginning, but I would imagine if you get busy, you won't have time for anything else.
Right. At the beginning, always it takes time to build clients, right?
Right.
It takes about 2 years, even for hairdressers. But still, it's a very popular beauty treatment, and that's why it's very easy to get clients.
Right.
And there are not enough trained technicians out there yet. And that's why this is so booming, because it's still a new beauty treatment on the market compared to nail technicians or hairdressers or estheticians.
Right.
And a lot of cities and states don't even have that yet.
Yeah.
There are no people doing it.
Yeah, that's
true. And that's
true.
Why it is a great opportunity. And the other part also is, it is a great opportunity to do part-time at the beginning, because, like I said, a lot of moms can do that.
Yeah.
You build the clientele, and then later on down the road, you'll see automatically you're building more and more and more, and it's a lot of word-of-mouth advertising because other people get seen by some others.
Right. No, absolutely.
And it's just...
Yeah. Referrals and stuff. Well, sounds good. So Hollywood Airbrush Tanning Academy.com, and you guys can find out a lot more about this and how to do it. And Simone will be there to provide any support you need, I'm sure. And
I do also online training as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so you do online training as
well. Yeah, for some people who cannot always fly here, right. I have a lot of them. I do the online training. It's a little bit more challenging, I would say.
Right.
But if I have a confident person, they say they can learn anything,
right.
Then I'm available for them to help and guide them through Skyping or video conferencing training.
Right. So they can
because
get
I have a whole
there.
Membership site first. I have all kinds of videos in a membership site.
Uh-huh.
But then I provide the support also online.
I see.
To meet with them personally. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, there you go. You see, a very ambitious, beautiful woman comes to this country and revolutionizes the way people look. What the hell, you know? Sounds good to me. So tell us a little bit. Okay, so we just about beat the topic to death between last time and this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to add before we get into, like I told you, maybe we'll just shoot the breeze for a while. Kelsey, I was telling her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I said, I said to her, I said, yeah, we'll talk about what you do and stuff, and we'll shoot
good,
the breeze. And she's like, and she goes, shoot the breeze? And I said, yeah, that's what we call just like sitting and talking about nothing.
Well, I'm a foreigner, so sometimes we don't understand.
No, I know. I know.
Slangs, right?
I know.
And
I know.
I'm surprised
I'm not making
with
fun
you because
you
you're a foreigner too.
Yeah, but I'm not. Please understand, I'm not making fun of you or anything, you know. And no, I understand because, first of all, I've been here much longer than you have.
Got it.
And a bigger portion of my life I lived here than I lived anywhere else.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I actually lived here longer than in Germany.
Really? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I grew
up
there.
But you haven't been here as long as I have, right? How long have you been here?
I think over 25 years.
Okay, well, I've been here much longer than that.
Got it.
So you see, so I had time to learn all the new things. Plus, you got to remember, we talk a lot here on the show. So you learn things from people. I also read a lot. I read, God knows I read a lot. So that helps too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
I
does
mean,
help.
I've become like a grammar police, you know?
I mean, grammar
Facebook
oh,
stuff,
my gosh.
You know? I'm one of those, you know? But to me, it's like, you know, when you're a reader and you're in control of the
That's
language,
so funny.
It's hard to have people screw up.
Do you still think in English or in your own language?
Sometimes I think in both at the same time. Like mixed
I think
up,
only
right?
in English.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's like mixed. It depends if I'm surrounded by Israelis. When I first came here, when I was 16, there weren't a lot of Israelis around. There wasn't that big a family out here yet. So I spoke mainly English, and I was able to assimilate rather easily in my late teens.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that when you come here at a later age, it's harder to assimilate and stuff, you know, and to... But,
right, I did come later when I was 20.
But then all the family moved here, and then I married an Israeli woman, my second wife. Mm-hmm. So we spoke Hebrew all the time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I never get to.
That's it. And now my parents are here and all this, so we speak a lot of Hebrew.
Right,
you know?
I never get a chance to speak German unless I speak with my family.
Right.
And that's maybe
really,
once a
I
month.
Really, I would imagine a lot of, you don't like find a community
no.
here of Germans? You don't really look for them?
No, not necessarily because I feel comfortable with any nationality or anybody here in America.
Right. But you don't have the desire to go somewhere where you can share memories?
Oh, yeah, periodically.
And
you know what I do?
Stuff.
I do go to Alpine Village in Torrance
during
Christmas season.
What's there?
Well, it's a German village, kind of.
Oh,
and
sure.
they have
really?
These little stores in Torrance. On Alpine Village, yes, they have the little stores, the German stores. They have a German restaurant there. And then they have Oktoberfest. So I've been to Oktoberfest, too.
Uh-huh.
I don't go there every year. But, you know, when I feel like I miss my German culture a little bit.
Right.
Then I go out there, and then you kind of feel like, wow, your memories.
You know, it's so funny because where I'm from, actually, in Texas, it's very, very German. It's like Alsatian. And
wow.
Yeah. And so
maybe a lot of Germans are over there.
Oh, yeah. There's tons. Uh-huh. My grandparents like were first generation American. They spoke fluent German and yeah, and so we go to like Wurstfest and Oktoberfest and all those fun like festival type things.
Yeah
sounds good, you know. I mean, those things sounds good, you know, that somebody was here on one of the shows with the Renaissance Fair, and that gave me the idea I should actually go. Have you ever been to the Renaissance Fair?
No, I haven't. Because
I was thinking about it because you just mentioned the events things.
Wurstfest, Oktoberfest.
Yeah, exactly, all those. So I was thinking of the Renaissance Fairs. People dress like in the old times, like during the Renaissance.
Oh, that's what they do on Oktoberfest.
Right, exactly.
The traditional German
I know,
outfits.
The boobs sticking out and everything.
That's all he's paying.
Yeah, exactly. Just for that I'm going, you know. That's all
so
I can think about.
Look under their skirts.
Well, not
right?
under. Whatever they show you, all the cleavages is enough. Believe
oh,
me.
The cleavage. Okay.
Right.
Well,
they
some
show
people
a lot
like
cleavage,
the skirts
yeah.
part.
Oh,
some
the skirts
like the
too.
Cleavage.
Yeah, but how can you ignore the cleavage? My God, you
know, I know.
They stick it right into your face.
Traditional
so
outfits.
Funny.
Yeah.
How did you grow up? Was it? Excuse me. Was your environment? Sexually permissive? Was it conservative?
I would say Germany.
Well, not that, you don't have to speak for all of Germany, but in your circle, let's say. Okay, did you grow up like conservative, or was it open? I mean, did you and your friends or family talk openly about sex and stuff?
Yes.
You did?
Not necessarily with my mother. No, she wasn't very, she's, you know, older generation. She right. was very conservative. But everyone else.
She never
else.
Gave you the lessons about life and the no, birds and the bees. And,
I don't remember my parents ever doing that either.
Really? So what
like
did you do?
So
when
funny.
You,
no.
What did you do when you started menstruating? Didn't you need oh, somebody that's to a, talk
that's,
to?
That's a very good topic. When I got my first period, I didn't even know what I had. So my mom, I was telling her, Mom, I'm bleeding and it's been there a few days.
Wow.
And then she was like, okay, girl, here, I need to show you a book. So the older
that was
generation.
It, huh? She couldn't even talk.
No,
about.
She couldn't.
Wow.
No, she couldn't.
Fascinating.
That is fascinating.
Right?
I mean, I knew about that.
Right.
I didn't know about it
wow.
at all.
Wow. How interesting.
And I think maybe I was very young. I was
yeah,
11.
Naive.
11.
Oh, wow.
11.
That's
early,
oh,
yeah.
my gosh.
I know.
Young.
You don't check into those things. At
I
that
looked
age,
very yeah. woman-like already at 11.
Wow.
Yeah, very developed breast.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you have all the boys, I mean, all the boys hitting on you and stuff? Probably,
not at
right?
11, but, no. but at 13, 14, oh yes.
Oh yes, right.
I did. Yeah.
Have you been married at all in your life?
I have been. Remember
really?
From the my last
well,
meeting
but
here?
I'm asking you because
one
a lot
time.
Of people
yes.
did not listen.
Yeah, I've been married. I met my husband in the military in Germany.
Okay, and he was an American, right?
Yes, and that's how I actually got here.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I'm happy about it because I love America. I love Los Angeles, the weather,
yeah.
right? We're pretty lucky here.
Do you ever travel here in the States? Do you have favorite places?
I used
places?
To. Not anymore. I kind of like to be stable here.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why I like my local business. I have my dog, my cats. I don't like to leave them alone. They're
oh,
my
that's
children.
Hard, yeah.
yeah, so I don't like traveling that much, unless it's for pleasure. But
right.
business, I used to travel a lot, though, many years ago.
Did you?
Yeah, for my career.
Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of great places to see in America, you know?
They are beautiful places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we go to all these far, far away places, but yet in our backyard we have such
right.
a beautiful
I know.
Country. You know?
I know. So what was your career before airbrush tanning?
Oh, you're not going to believe this.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I was
What's she going to tell us, a go-go dancer?
No. Oh, no. Well, I was an executive. I was
what?
Really?
I was a human resources director
oh,
for many years.
Really?
Wow.
I worked in human resources for about 18, 19 years.
I could see it actually, though.
I was in really big companies. I worked for Hunter Douglas. I worked for a garment industry like Karen Kane, Judy Knapp. Wow. I worked at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. That was actually my first job in human resources.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I loved human resources as well. It's just that I'm very entrepreneurial and I always wanted to do my own thing.
Right.
And, you know, and I feel kind of I'm still in human resources because of the academy. I developed
sure.
my own airbrush tanning academy teaching. And that's what I used to do in the corporate environment. We used to develop all the people.
You're right, and
you
the
know,
training.
We always. I did
know,
a lot of
stuff.
Training because
right.
we have to do safety training, management training.
Yeah,
right.
so it's kind of
new
the same
employee
thing.
Training, right? Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And I always loved my career, but it's just that I always wanted to be on my own, and that's
yeah.
What airbrush tanning basically gave me,
yeah.
but just much on a much smaller scale,
right.
which I like. And this is also exactly, you know, me knowing was about employees, like how many problems you could be having with employees.
Right.
That's
wow.
exactly why I don't do many airbrush tanning places on my own, because. Then it's about hiring, firing, and
exactly.
I rather
like
teach everybody
thing,
to
right?
have their own business.
Yeah.
And then I have my academy, so I teach.
Good,
I
you're smart. It. You don't
mm-hmm.
want to get into.
I don't want to have yeah. trouble. I kind of want to have a small business, locust business, and then
yeah.
just teaching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I don't, you know, a lot of the students always ask me, well, Simone, you have a whole network of students. Why don't you just open up? All over airbrush tanning businesses. And I said, no, I don't want to have the trouble with the employees.
Exactly.
It's a lot of hassle.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be waking up in the morning and then hear, like, oh, one person is not showing up and then I got to be in another location.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, but, you know, having your own business is cool because You're not building somebody else's dream. You're
exactly.
building your own dream,
That's
right?
That's the thing.
When
yeah.
you're an employee, you're building somebody else's dream in a way,
right.
you know. And it's like, you know, although people get a lot of pleasure from this. Don't get me wrong. You know, they love being in a big environment, corporate environment. They get a lot of satisfaction.
I loved it too, yes.
From, you know, supervising, managing many people. You know, there's satisfaction in that too, and there's a lot less uncertainty when you're part of a big organization. When you're small, you're alone, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
There are positive and negatives in
right,
both
exactly.
ways. You know, when I was younger, I always wanted to climb up the ladder in the corporate world.
Right.
And I felt I did it, you know, in all these years. But then as you get older, you want different things in life, and it's totally okay to wanting to change.
Right.
And that's basically just what I went through. I wanted to have my own. I wanted to step back, be smaller. I'm in control of my own schedule, and that's the biggest thing that I really, really love about being independently employed, basically, right? You make your own schedule. Not to say that I don't work late at night. I still do work late at night. Last night, I did a mobile tan. Actually, I did two mobile tans.
Oh, really? So you
really,
go
really
to people's
late.
Locations
I
too?
Do, really? Yeah. Yesterday was two mobile tans late at night.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it was my first time doing a woman, she's handicapped in a wheelchair. Was my first time doing that.
That's
it was a challenge.
Cool.
Yeah, but it was great. I can say I did it, and she looked beautiful afterwards, and she felt great. And yeah, I like mobile too. And you know, I wouldn't want to go every day mobile.
Right.
But I like to get out
but
of my studio
once in
a while too.
Yeah,
yeah, because you get to see people's homes, new environment. It's just always something new and challenging, and
right.
and I like that.
Yeah. Wow, uh-huh. that's pretty cool.
Never gets boring.
Yeah.
And you meet new people.
That's true. Uh-huh. You do. You do.
And really nice people.
Do you ever fall for somebody that comes like a handsome guy or something?
Oh, one time, yes. Oh, I'm not going to say his name.
Okay.
Because he's my client. But yes, I do have a crush on somebody.
Oh, wow. And then he comes there freaking naked in front of her, and she's like,
not
yeah.
Not totally naked. Not yeah. everybody goes naked,
I know,
but in underwear, right? Like, underwear is totally okay.
You know what? That's fine. If I had a woman standing in front of me just in underwear, I would be pleased enough. I'd spray her all day and night. I'll tell her, look, you really need to be dark.
Would you want it to be spray tanned by a man?
Who, me?
Yes.
No.
You're not okay with that?
No.
Like, I hear that so many
it's
times.
It's funny,
oh,
right?
Oh, I know. My yeah. boyfriend's
men
like that,
like
too.
That.
He doesn't even like a massage by a man.
Yeah, I mean, you
it's
know,
so interesting when
isn't
I hear
it?
This. Yes.
I mean, I feel uncomfortable in the men's room with another guy next to me peeing. Yeah.
But you're not uncomfortable having a woman in front of you?
No.
Interesting.
Well, no, no. Well, peeing, yeah, but no. But, I mean, otherwise, no, I mean, look. No, I mean, if you talk about, like, the locker room and stuff, I have no uh-huh. problem with that. You know,
okay.
I don't. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But
peeing?
But if no, but if a guy was like stunning, but if a guy would spray me, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Know.
Okay, so what's the
but
part that's
me,
weird?
that a guy is
good,
seeing
different.
You. I don't know.
No, well, let's say not naked. Let's say I put on
underwear.
A Speedo
let's say you have underwear,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're still uncomfortable?
Maybe not. Maybe mm-hmm. I wouldn't be uncomfortable.
I've had, you know, I used to be inside the gym, my location, yeah. and I've asked all the others.
You know
but the
what?
Majority of the men did say that they are not comfortable in front of other men. They
oh.
feel more comfortable having a woman spray them.
Well, look, more
so
comfortable, yes, but I don't think I would say, no, a guy can't
uh-huh.
do it.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, they don't
sure.
touch you, you know? I mean,
right.
What the
well, and that's the thing. In spray tanning, we don't touch them at
right.
all. Nobody, right?
Right, right.
But still, you would feel more comfortable with a woman there. Huh?
Right. Kelsey, what were you saying about your boyfriend now? That we missed.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, he likes to get massages only by women too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's different.
I know.
That I don't think many guys like it by guys other than like the athletes and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. who need it for their work and stuff.
Right,
you know?
right.
But other than that, yeah.
Yeah, every time we go get massages.
It's an intimate like, experience.
He's like,
you
can have the guy. I'm like,
that's what you have to understand. I mean, even if you're strangers, it's still an intimate experience, you know. I mean, like
do you think spray tanning is an intermittent experience?
No, it is, but it's not as much as touching.
Right. Not, not like
no,
right?
Because we don't touch.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. That's what I mean.
We only
but
spray.
A massage, sometimes you'll just lean on you or something, and it's like bang, you know, boing, like you get your heart on and everything. And she's doing this, and you go, my God, you know, what am I going to do now, you know? But
would a pretty woman intimidate you when a pretty woman sprays?
Intimidate? Not at all. Oh, okay. On the contrary.
Got it.
No, I'm like, here, look at me. Look at me. Oh. Yeah. No, that's funny. But, I mean, you have to talk about these things because they do happen. Just like, you know, a gynecologist, man. I mean, you know. How many vaginas can you see before you're not attracted to them anymore?
Oh, I know, right?
Well, they have to stay professionally, right?
Yeah. They do, but...
You know, that actually happened to me in Germany when I was younger. I was working in a bar, like handing out beers. Uh-huh. And then I remember my gynecologist came in and I was so embarrassed.
Oh, no way. Oh, my God. Yes. That's hilarious.
I was working in a bar. Uh-huh. I was really young. I was like 18 years old.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
Very self-conscious and everything.
Yeah. And then it was somehow a little bit embarrassing for me. I don't know why, but.
That is so funny.
Yep. My gynecologist asked me for a glass of beer.
What are the odds?
Well.
Yeah. Well, what can you do, you know?
I don't know how it felt for him seeing me there, too.
He probably doesn't actually see his patients out all around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Simone, now you know what shooting the breeze is. You
got
see,
it.
We're talking about things that you didn't expect when we came in. And no, we need to talk more about sex on this show. You know, I mean, there's definitely a lot to say and a lot to discuss. So, and Kelsey's cool with that. You know,
of course.
She's a naughty little girl behind the scenes.
Ew.
Ew.
Lies. All lies.
Well, we're guessing. An educated guess.
Yeah,
you gotta know, you know, still water runs deep, you know, you never know. The quiet ones are usually the ones that are...
That's what they all say.
Right?
I know, right? Yeah, that is what they all say. Hey.
Yeah. But, you know, anyway, folks, we're wrapping up. Simone Emmons, tell people how they can find you, how they can contact you if they want to get a tan or learn how to start a business of tanning.
So if you want to get a tan, you can visit my website here locally at simonesairbrushtanning.com. And if you want to learn how to spray tan, just visit hollywoodairbrushtanningacademy.com.
Great.
Thank you.
And there's videos and pictures and everything you want to know.
Yep.
Oh, look, there's even our picture here.
Yeah.
Oh, recently.
You see, it's good to invite her here. Now we'll have another one.
And we did a press release as well recently.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
So this is very cool. And finally, we just want to... truly apologize. I mean, I know you really looked forward to it. And obviously we did.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And we obviously did too, because we planned it so we would have time to come before you came back. But it didn't work out, you know. And we'll work on this and we'll do it.
We're doing another
okay? time. Okay. And you got to tell me how to do this, because I'm also kind of like iffy about this, like, fading on sheets and things
like
that.
Oh, no, it's not at all. You see, this is exactly why I like to share this with everyone.
Right.
So you see, it doesn't stain your sheets. It doesn't fade horrible.
Great.
It fades like a real natural tan.
And during sex, it's not going to rub off on the other person.
No. While you have the solution on, yes.
Shut up, Sam.
No, not the solution.
You got to plan on the day when I spray you, you cannot have sex.
Oh, really? Okay.
But after you show off the solution, it's totally
it's
okay.
Worth waiting.
It's like the whole day.
It's worth waiting. Well, oh, she's like, I have to wait
6 to 8 hours at least. Okay. Minimum 6 to 8 hours. Or I also have a rapid tan solution.
That's
many
reasonable.
People choose that too, and you only leave it on 2 to 3 hours.
Okay. Look, I can stay without having sex for a few hours. I think I'd be fine, right?
You'd be fine.
Yeah. All right, Simone, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
You're always
me.
A lot of fun. You're always welcome back.
Thank you.
And we'll work it out again soon. And Kelsey, thank you as always.
Yeah.
Don't work too hard.
Okay.
We need you in one piece here.
I know.
Thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye guys. Bye.
listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.